Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
That's Ben Adler, our Capital Bureau Chief at Capital Public Radio, who's joining me for a very special mini episode of this podcast.
For years, everyone's been joking about Ben Squared or the Bens.
And here we are.
Here we are. But only one time. Sorry, folks. It is after Labor Day, which means campaigns are ramping up. And it's in a really different political environment than even your last episode, Ben. The landscape appears to have shifted more toward Democrats.
And we have a bit of news about this podcast, too. This is Keys to the House.
I'm your new host, Ben Adler.
What?
Yeah, afraid so. Watch out.
Okay, so that's our news, our bit of housekeeping about this podcast. I'll be turning the show over to the very capable hands of Ben Adler. And Ben, as you mentioned, it's a really great time because there's just, you know, there's so much happening in these races right now.
Labor Day marks the traditional kickoff of the fall campaign season. And what a campaign season we have. Throughout California, seven different, maybe eight now, congressional races with news of one incumbent getting indicted. We also have a big governor's race, a big U.S. Senate race, and lots of ballot measures. And some of the ballot measures may actually have a big say in voters turning out in the congressional districts.
Yeah. So, you know, we've spent this podcast really focused on these seven battleground congressional races, and listeners who have listened through all the episodes will be almost sick of hearing this, these places where Hillary Clinton outperformed Donald Trump, but Republican incumbent members of Congress still held on to their seats. And, you know, one of the things that's happened is that as we've been covering this and as I've been talking to people, you know, a lot of political watchers have been really skeptical that, like, oh, all seven of these seats are in play, or even that a majority of them are really in play. People have really talked about it as, you know, maybe one or two or three of these seats really being competitive, and then feeling like these people, these candidates who weathered the 2016 election year, which was a really bad year for Republicans in California, that they'd be able to hold on. But it's changing. And like you said, it's moving toward Democrats. And we're at this point now where the political ratings agencies like their credit rating
S&P, right?
Yeah.
Moody's.
But these political watchers who are known for rating races, like the Cook Political Report or the University of Virginia Center for Politics, they have six of the seven races listed as either toss-ups or as lean Democrats. And that's without even considering the one that you mentioned where there's some new news on. So this is a big change.
It is. And it kind of reflects the fact that in a wave year or in a typical election, a lot of the toss-ups don't split in which way they break. They all tend to, or at least most of them tend to break in one direction.
Yeah, there's like a national effect.
And so take a look at just the 2016 presidential race where the undecideds, the late decideds in the presidential race ended up not splitting 50-50 between Trump and Hillary Clinton, but they by and large went for the president. And so if you look at what might happen in the congressional races, if the indicators based on turnout and intensity are suggesting that Democrats have a shot at picking up some significant ground, then the question is, well, do the seven or maybe eight California seats split right down the middle, or do the majority of them end up going toward Democrats? And we have to see. That's a big question moving forward.
You know, one of the things that we've that I've sort of said on this podcast a lot of times is it's almost like my rule for the congressional races is that campaigns are not out to win hearts and minds. Campaigns are about turnout. It's about who whips up more of their hardcore fans and maybe, you know, motivates some of their more wishy-washy voters and gets them out to the polls. And that's what campaigns are trying to do.
And so, who stays home.
And who stays home.
Because they're just not excited.
And so this is kind of what you're describing. I mean, this kind of national effect, which is that the more whipped up one party's voters are, the more likely that not just that they're going to win, oh, in one congressional district or another congressional district, but that they're going to take, you know, above a certain threshold. If a district has 3% more Republican voters than Democratic voters, but 4% more Democrats turn out nationwide, then it's likely that all of those plus three R districts are going to turn over to Democrats. And that's what we're looking at here is how high is this wave?
And to what profile districts does it apply? Because when you look at the toss-ups in California, the swing districts, you're kind of looking at two different sets. You've got the suburban and you've got the Central Valley, really. And those are different models of voters, different turnout models. And so it may be that a wave strikes that, you know, California that only affects one subset of those races, right? Maybe just the suburban races, but that the in rural areas, maybe the president stays strong and people are coming out to vote. Or it might be the other way around that, you know, as you've discussed in one of your more recent episodes, the Latino vote, this, you know, everyone calls it the sleeping giant, finally awakes. This is magically the year when it really has not ever been the year. But that, you know, well-educated Republicans who don't like Trump still want a Republican Congress for their political ends, be it the Supreme Court or you know, more tax-friendly policies. And so maybe the wave strikes half the seats, but not the other half, or maybe it is a tsunami and it strikes them all.
Based on the demographic breakdowns, for sure. And that's not even to mention that, you know, anything could happen. You know, I mean, so the most recent is that we've seen, right, well, the most recent thing that we've seen is just even over the weekend, the latest approval ratings for President Trump fall outside even of the 40s and going into the mid-30s in some polls, which has, again, kind of made people feel like the Democrats' chances are even better. But at the same time, you know, anything could happen, and we don't know what the political situation will be. We don't know what Trump's popularity will be, what the economy will be like in October leading into November. So anything could change. But yeah, right now, I mean, that's a big deal. And we have talked in previous episodes about the different makeups of these districts. And I'll say that, you know, again, if you look at the Cook Political Report and how many of these seven races they have listed as a toss-up or as in one case, the lean Democrat. This is the Daryl Issa race, which we've covered a decent amount. The one that they do not have is the one with the highest Latino population, which is David Valadao's race. That one they still have as a likely Republican district, even though, and I encourage anybody who hasn't listened to it to go back and listen to that Latino vote episode, because even though there is an overwhelming advantage for Democrats in terms of registration in that race.
The focus has often been on registering voters, but the gap is often about getting people who are registered to cast ballots. A lot of money going to be spent again in this cycle on trying to turn out voters. And we'll see if they are only able to register people or if they're actually able to convert voter registrations to votes.
So I'm leaving the podcast. And it's not because I'm being deposed. I'm going over to Marketplace. I'm excited to turn this podcast over to you because you've been covering California politics for far longer than I have. And I guess I'm wondering, what is it that most interests you about these congressional races going forward?
So there's the big picture and there's the district by district picture. And there's a lot that's interesting in each of those. There are Californians poised to lead the next Congress, regardless of which side wins. Now, it's not a lock on either side. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy has tried to run for Speaker before. His own colleagues rejected him. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi has been Speaker before. She would like to be Speaker again. She has a lot of discontent among her ranks as well. And yet you have these two Californians, both very powerful, both senior members of Congress.
Could not be more ideologically different.
Exactly. And I think Kevin McCarthy likes to joke about Pelosi that he'd love her to run for Speaker because he likes having her there as this person he can
criticize. She's a boogeyman for
yes.
Republican Party.
A boogie woman.
Boogie woman.
And so we actually have a tape from each of them talking about kind of forecasting where things are. And they're putting their spin on it. But let's start, first of all, with Kevin McCarthy speaking at a recent Public Policy Institute of California event.
I don't think America wants to turn over Congress to abolish ICE, destroy our health care system, and just take it over to impeach a president. I feel pretty good about where we are. I know it's going to be competitive, and I know week to week is going to change, but I think if this is on ideas, we're going to be there.
And now here's Nancy Pelosi speaking at a recent Harley Ruta fundraiser. He is the candidate in one of the Orange County seats trying to take down incumbent Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. This audio is from a recent NPR story from one of their top political reporters, Scott Detrow, where she says she is confident that Democrats will win, but the margins will be close.
Will it be a tsunami or will it be a wave? And I said, well, you know, in either case, it's tiny little drops of water and all of them very close races.
And so that audio is not the clearest. She's talking about, will it be a tsunami or a wave? And her metaphor is either way, tiny little drops of water in these very close races, which allows us to go from the big picture, the macro, down to the micro. And again, I'm watching the different breakdowns of districts. Will the suburban districts perform the way the rural districts do, or will they be two completely different electoral blocks?
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating. And because it could be very close on that national level, and you know, in terms of who turns out, the individual candidates are going to matter. And again, I just think that it's so important that the big context of this is which one of them, whether McCarthy or Pelosi, is going to be the Speaker of the House. That's what we're talking about here. It's California playing a role in that. And if California turns over, you know, four or five congressional seats to Democrats from Republicans, you are very likely looking at a 23 or more seat pickup nationally, which means that the control of the House would change. So that's the context for this thing that I just think is the keys, that California controls the keys to the House.
There will be real money and attention on California. I wouldn't even be surprised if President Trump held one or more campaign stops here.
And, you know, just speaking of Trump real quick, one thing that we should mention is that there is this eighth strange race that is a very conservative district. President Trump won that district over Hillary Clinton, unlike these seven races that we have spent the podcast looking at. But there is some news there that all of a sudden puts this race potentially in play, probably leaning still toward or likely still Republican if you look at the various forecasts, the political forecasts. But Duncan Hunter's race all of a sudden is on the board. What's the deal with that?
So Duncan Hunter represents a district that includes northern and eastern San Diego County, and he's been indicted. He's been indicted for inappropriately spending campaign money on personal causes. He and his wife were
all kinds of personal causes, like flying their pet rabbit to D.C. or video games off the service Steam, vacations to Italy and Hawaii.
You can't make this stuff
up.
You
name it, and he's bought it with campaign funds, according to this indictment.
And not only that, his wife indicted too because she was managing the campaign money, and he appeared to throw her under the bus in an interview on Fox News.
And then he later walked that back too. Yeah, the whole thing is a mess, and Republicans are definitely not happy about it. And we had a tweet from the president
using this and one other indictment, I believe that one's in New York, if I recall correctly, to blame his own Attorney General Jeff Sessions, with whom, of course, he has a long-running feud about the Mueller investigation. So his tweet was, quote, "Two long-running Obama-era investigations of two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. Two easy wins now in doubt because there is not enough time. Good job, Jeff."
So I think that the key sorting through that is really the two easy wins now in doubt. And I think that, again, this is a very conservative district, and it's likely that Hunter still wins it. But the point is that under California's election rules, he can't take himself off the ballot. They can't replace him with a Republican who would easily win. So he's on the ballot at least until the election. And there's been some talk among Republicans of, well, maybe we can get him to agree to resign after, so people can still vote for him and get him in the race and say, okay, well, you're really voting for a Republican to be named later rather than for the Democratic candidate. But it puts the whole thing in flux.
And to your point about campaigns matter, well, who is the little-known Democrat that Duncan Hunter is running against? He's a man named Amar Campa-Najjar. He is the son of an Arab father and a Mexican-American Christian mother. So this is a conservative district, as you said. It's a district that President Trump won comfortably. You've got a Democratic candidate with a background that, all else being equal, might not be popular in this district, going up against an indicted current member of Congress.
It's going to be a fascinating race. And Ben, I'm fascinated to hear the episodes going forward. I know the podcast is in good hands.
And we are grateful to you for starting this awesome podcast. I've been a loyal listener, longtime listener, first time guest. You are off to Marketplace. You're going national. And everyone here at Camp Radio is thrilled. And we look forward to hearing you nationally on our air and on Marketplace podcast, I'm sure.
I appreciate it.
All right, so that's a wrap for this episode. We will be back soon as we head toward Election Day. And remember that vote-by-mail ballots actually go out about a month before Election Day. So we're really only about a month from when voting begins in these elections. And we have some late-breaking news, actually, as we get ready to post this podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 5th. This coming Saturday, the 8th, former President Obama is coming to Orange County, and he's going to hold his first campaign event for the midterm election. So of all the places in all the entire country that former President Obama could go to begin his campaign efforts to help Democrats recapture the House of Representatives, he has chosen California to be his first stop. And he'll be joined by the seven Democrats challenging Republicans in these competitive races. And frankly, this is a reflection of, although President Obama is not popular everywhere in the country, he is popular in California, and he could move the needle turning out Democrats in some of those congressional races. Our podcast is produced by Sally Schilling and edited by Nick Miller. Chris Hagen is our digital editor. The executive producer is Linnea Edmire. Keys to the House was created by Ben Bradford, and his brother Matt Bradford composed and performed the music. You can get more election news at Capital Public Radio. Visit us online at capradio.org, or, you know, that old-fashioned thing called a radio or a smart speaker. We're on there as well. If you're looking to take a break from politics, and we wouldn't blame you if you did, we have a great new podcast for you. Check out Yosemite Land. Cap Radio's environment reporter Ezra David Romero explores the future of the park. New episodes of Yosemite Land drop every Monday at capradio.org/Yosemite Land or wherever you found this podcast. This is Keys to the House. I'm Ben Adler. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.